Well, let's go back in your Bible to where we were reading the Scriptures, please. And I'm going to share a little message that God gave to me a little while ago. I guess I got a mic on here that's don't need this one. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to your heart. Well, we appreciate being here. This is a good church, and you got a good pastor, and you got a wonderful youth pastor. And I told the preacher, he probably likes the college better than I do, and I work there. But I love it, but I appreciate the enthusiasm from the youth pastor on the college there. And but we do appreciate the good relationship between Loomis Park and Grace Baptist College. It just does your heart good to know that we're not in competition with one another. We're trying to see people saved, and as the preacher said, to see the saints grow and work for God. And we're waiting for our blessed Savior to come back, and you know, it's wonderful to you just feel good to be in a good church, got a good pastor, and just keep it up. It just sounds wonderful here, and just keep it up. There's a lot to do, and I know we work a lot of years and in our towns and villages, and we think, my, there's nobody left, but there's a lot of people out there that are still waiting, putting off the greatest invitation that they'll ever receive, and that is the invitation for salvation and have their hearts right before the Savior. So we need to keep up what we're doing. I love the tour groups, and pray for us. We've got quite a trip this afternoon. We'll be way up in northern Michigan on Lake Huron at Rogers City. I appreciate your prayers as we go up there. But this message here this morning that I want to share with you is precious. I was reading it. I spent a lot of time in the Psalms. I love the Psalms. I don't know if I love them more than any other part of the Bible, but the Psalms are a portion of God's Word that God really uses to work in our hearts at different times, different experiences that we're going through. And as we notice there in the reading here this morning, that, you know, this is a Psalm of David. You learn a lot from David, and a great man of the Scriptures, a man after God's own heart. But yet, I suppose when you read a psalm like this, or several others, that it almost sounds like it would be a valley experience that David was in. And I think that he was. This is one of several psalms that we call a penitent psalm. And what we simply mean by that, it's David is in trouble. And we don't know where he's living, possibly in a cave somewhere. He talks about, gives the description in this psalm of darkness and sometimes down to the ground. His experience was everything but rosy and all of that sort of thing. And you know, and the thing about it was, too, if you know the story here, David is hiding from his own son. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But he's hiding from his own son. And if that was all of the story, that would be fine, but his own son, Absalom, was trying to kill him. It doesn't add up, does it? It's kind of crazy. Sounds like maybe something would be happening today in the world. But you can understand why David sounds depressed and overcome with a feeling of remorse in this portion of the Scriptures. You know, it's wonderful, though, when you read this little portion of Scripture, and we could have read all of it, but I believe with all my heart that David is in an experience when he's looking for God. Haven't you been there? If you haven't been there, you're certainly a better person than I am. Now, we have, up to this point, we have had the privilege, thankfully, to serve the Lord all of our lives up to this point, and hopefully can keep on serving Him. But I think I relate to David. He's looking, he's wondering where God is. And he's about as far down as he can get. Things couldn't be worse. It looks like the bottom has literally dropped out for this great man of God. And I say that with all respect. He was a great man of God. Up in the psalm just before that, in Psalm number 142, you learn something from verse 1. David said in that psalm, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. That means that he was audibly praying. He was really involved in prayer. It wasn't just something he was thinking about, meditating in his heart. You know, you could ask most any Christian any time of the day, have you been praying? And they'll say yes. But have they? Have they really been praying and crying out to God? He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Want God to hear him. And I suppose God could hear a whisper. No, I'm not doubting that. But he is making much of prayer here. But here he is, sitting in this predicament that he finds himself in this 143rd Psalm. And he says something, and as I was reading this, I said, that'd make a good sermon. You know, pastors get their sermons different ways, but I thought, you know, this would be a good, I'm going to work on that a little bit. And several weeks ago, I just kind of made some notes and kept it in my Bible and added this and added that. But he says there in verse number 5, I think a great statement. He said, I remember the days of old. I remember the days of old. You know what, beloved? There are some things that we must never forget. I want to just kind of talk to you in this little sermon here today. Some things we must never forget. And I think that's what he was alluding to here. He's crying out. He said, I remember the days of old. He said further, I meditate on all thy works. I mean, what else is there to do, beloved, when you feel like the bottom has dropped out and there's no place to turn? You've lost faith in almost everything that you ever believed. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want the phone to ring. You don't want anybody to knock on the door. You don't want to go and see anybody. You just feel like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what happened. And at that time, David said, I started remembering the days of old. Now, I don't know everything that David might have been thinking about, but that is when you need to start remembering, beloved, how good God's been to you. When you can't find another friend in all of the world, that's a great time to remember how good God's been to you. And I'm sure that you do that. I don't think you probably have a problem with that, but here he is, and I just looked this few verses over in this 143rd Psalm, and I found several things that was really a blessing to my heart, and it obviously had been a blessing to King David's heart. Things are going to turn out all right for David. We don't doubt that. But right now, things don't look too good. I don't know, maybe you kind of snuck into the church today and anybody talks to you, you're liable to snap their head off. I hope somebody doesn't come by and shake my hand. I don't feel like shaking anybody's hand. I escaped out of the world. I escaped out of my house. And here you are in church today. Well, what a place to be. You know, if I was in trouble, I'd want to come to church. But you know the problem is, so often when people get in trouble spiritually or some other way, they leave the church. They don't go to church. And goodness gracious, where else can you find the help that you need except right in these walls here this morning? You know, if I was in trouble, I don't care what kind of trouble it was, I'd like to be here with all of you people that love the Lord, that could kind of come up and pat me on the shoulder and say, hey, brother, it's not as bad as you think it is. The news is not that bad. It's going to be okay. I'd want to be here. And you know, here you are. And that's kind of the train of thought that I had when I was reading this precious portion of God's Word. So David said, I remember the days of old. Do you remember when you got saved? Youth pastor was talking here this morning about the day, I guess he was talking about when he became your youth pastor a year ago. And that was a harrowing experience, obviously, to him and to his dear wife, to look out. You don't know what it's like. See, unless you've been up here, you don't know how ugly you look. How scary you look. And how often pastors have the unfortunate task of, you know, really praying their hearts out. Literally praying their hearts out. Lord, what do you want me to do on Sunday? What's the sermon? Well, how can you prepare me, Lord, for the service, and so that we can have a great service, a great message, and the Holy Spirit can use it to speak to her? All week long, the pastor is doing his best to do his best up here behind this sacred desk. Then he has to come up here, and guess what? He has to look at you. Some of you are smiling. Some of you are not literally you. I'm not really talking about you. But in a lot of churches, some people are scowling, and they're going like, okay, preacher, I dare you to try to teach me a thing today. I've come to church like somebody invited me. I'm here. But don't try to teach me anything. Keep your hand out of my pocket. I'm not going to let you touch my wallet. And here the poor preacher stands up here and says, help me, Lord. Please help me, Lord. It's not as easy as you think sometimes up behind the sacred desk, Sunday after Sunday, to try to encourage people, to try to just help you out of the ditch. And for you to have the right attitude that you can help the preacher out of the ditch when he gets in a ditch. Anyway, David is in this mood, and he's in this experience, and he's all of a sudden, the daylight comes, and David is saying, where are you, Lord? I used to be able to see you, feel you, hear you every day of my life, but right now, Lord, where are you? I believe, if I'm wrong, that's okay. You're welcome to your opinion. I sort of believe that's the experience that David is in as he writes these words. And so he says something pretty good there in verse number 6, verse 5. I remember the days of old. And he says, I began to think and meditate. He did two things in that verse there. He was meditating on God's works. You know, do you ever stop and think that everything that you can lay your eyes on, everything God made? I had a funeral this past week, and we're talking about a little experience we'd had last Saturday night up at the Big Rapids Hospital. We were there until real late with actually my brother, who was dying of cancer. And he was having all sorts of problems that night in the hospital room. They'd given him something. They gave him something that was reacting in his body, and everything was going wrong. And I was sitting beside the bed, and I heard him say to the nurse, this is so embarrassing, what I'm going through. And when people are in the room looking at me, he said, this is so embarrassing. You know, my heart went out to him. But I thought, I shared this at a funeral this week. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, think about it. When Jesus died on the cross, they nailed him to a tree that he made. And he could have said, boy, this is embarrassing. He said, what's wrong with this picture here? I made that tree. Now they're nailing me to it. He could have whispered, but he didn't. Boy, this is embarrassing. You know, if it was embarrassing to him, that whole story, you know what it's about. It's about you and me. About his love that he was showing to all of the world. How much he loved the world, how much he cared for the world. But I thought about that. You know, they drove those old nails in through his hands and through his feet, laid him down on the old rugged cross that he himself had created. That's what David, all of a sudden David was thinking. He said, I got to thinking. I'm thinking about all your work. You know, everything that God made, he made for us to enjoy. Why do you think he made the rainbow and put all the colors in the rainbow so we could look at it and enjoy it? I know there was a reason for the rainbow, but he didn't have to make such a beautiful one. Why did he do it? So we could enjoy it. You should have to think of all that God has done for our enjoyment. I believe that's what David did. David took just a few moments out and he said, no, I got to thinking. I know things couldn't look any worse, but when he said that little word muse there, interesting word there, he's reflecting. He's reflecting. He's considering all that God had done. And you know what I think? I think when he did that, all of a sudden he could realize that, you know, things aren't quite as bad as I think they are. They were bad, but not as bad as David thought they were. Not as he sat there and reflecting on the goodness of God. You talk about salvation and all that he did so that you and I could be saved. Yeah, we ought to be out there knocking on doors, and I know that you are. It's obvious. I guess we've knocked on every door in Otsego County countless, countless times and still miss people. But why do we do it? We do it because of what Christ did on the cross for us and for others. It really breaks your heart to see people, you know, it breaks your heart to think you're in a town, a community, you know, like you are here or like we are, where that anybody would die and go to hell after all the opportunities they've had to be saved. You know, I think that we just have to keep going. We have to just keep knocking. We have to just keep trying to encourage people. David said, you know, I thought on all the stuff that God had done. He said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. He says, I consider all the work of thy hand. All that God did, he did for us. How beautiful creation ought to be for all of us. And David got a glimpse of that. But there's more to that. I want you to look, just several things I want to point out here. Very briefly, it's not going to take long. I want you to look at verse 5. There's something else that David remembered. He remembered the works of God. We sort of mentioned that there. All that his hands had made. And then another thing I'd like to have you just consider here in verse number 1, he remembered God's faithfulness to him. Verse number 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, he could pray with confidence. So can you. So can I. We can pray with confidence. David, in the very bottom of the pit, got a glimpse of God's faithfulness. You know what that did for him? That had to lift him somewhat. That had to relieve the pain. He remembered the faithfulness of God. And when he was praying there, he said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." That's good. Hear my prayer. I've memorized that verse and some others in this particular psalm here. Give ear. Notice that. How that personal relationship. He said, "Lord, not only hear my prayer, but give ear to my supplication." He said, "Are you listening, Lord? Listen to me very carefully, Lord. Give ear to my supplication." What is wrong with praying like that? I mean, we believe the Bible and we believe that God answers prayer. That we need to act like it. We need to put feet to our prayers. We need to believe it with all of our hearts. And that's what David is doing. He said, "I remembered God's faithfulness." So someplace he could look out of the bottom of the cave or wherever he was, and he remembered that in days gone by, God had been faithful to him. How many times did somebody try to kill him, and God would spare him every time? That's God's faithfulness. I always worry when we take off with the tour groups. You know, there's been some bad stories about tour groups out on the highways, and I always am concerned about it. That we'll make it back to Gaylord at the end of the tour, the trip. And we always thank God for it. When we get back, and there's been no accident, there's been nobody hurt, nobody killed. We take it very, very serious. That when we pray, "God, please protect us. Please go with us." We take that literally. And God has been faithful. Sometimes we get a little fender scraped up, but nothing serious. And I believe that we can have that kind of relationship with the Blessed Savior. That we ought to have that kind of relationship with Him. And when we feel like things are really taking a reverse in our hearts and lives, to remember how good God's been to us. And to remember that He's been faithful. He remembers something else too. It's in verse number 1 there. He remembered God's righteousness. I like that word there. When I first looked these verses over, I wondered about that. But you know what that simply means is, it was all of God and none of David. I mean, do you understand what I just said there? He said, "In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." David is saying there, "I don't deserve anything at all. You have done it all. You have accomplished everything. It's your righteousness." Of course, and as we stand in Him, then we stand in His righteousness. But David is admitting here, if I'm going to get any help, it's going to be all of you, God, not me. Don't you ever pray like that? You feel like you have done all that you can do. There's nothing else you can do. And David said, "You know, that's how I feel. So I remember not only your faithfulness, but also your righteousness. It's all God, not me." I like that, you know, because I've come to the end of myself so many times, it's not even funny. There's a couple of other things there that I'd like to have you know. Look in verse 6. He remembered also the fountain. And this is good for us, beloved, because if you're here today without Him, then of course there is no life without Him. But in verse number 6 there he said, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee." So, you know, that's He is the fountain of life. And He is the one that gives new life. And David recognized that all that he ever hoped for was in the Savior and not in himself. The fountain of life. He said, I'm thirsty. And he recognized where that thirst and how that thirst could be satisfied. I like that. Couple other things I want to show you here. Look in verse number 9. We went a little bit farther than our scripture reading there. In verse number 9 he says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." He knew where the place of safety and refuge was. And beloved, I say that to you today too. If you're not saved, then you don't understand this, but he's the place of safety. He's the refuge. He has said so in so many other places in the Blessed Book. He's the refuge. He's the safe place. And David recognized that. He was in a lot of danger, but all was not lost. Another reason that you know the hiding place. You think about that. Where can you go when there's no place else to go? You can go to the Savior. You can fall on your face and you can say, "Lord, I love you. Help me." I looked at the Psalm before that, the verses of Scripture. He says, "I cried unto thee," in verse number 5 of the 142nd Psalm. He says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." He said, "Attend unto my cry, and I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." He said just before that, he says, I looked on my right hand, I looked on my left hand. I could find no help at all till I looked to him. So how precious that is, beloved. I just wish that you would, realize that the relationship that you have and you can have and you ought to have is with the Blessed Savior. And this is just one more thing there. I want to just remember in verse number 10, just show it to you here. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprighteousness." I like that. Not only was he a place of refuge and strength to David, but I hope you remember this. You read this psalm often and memorize some of it. He was telling David here that there's no pit so deep that can keep God out. I don't know what trouble you might be going through, what you have experienced as a child of God, but there is no pit. David probably was in some sort of a pit or a cave here. There's no doubt about that. But he is saying there that there's no pit so deep as to keep God out. God knew he was there. In fact, I was reading the other day that in this previous psalm, it's revealed that God knew in verse number 3, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." God knew exactly the path that David was on. David was worried about it, but God wasn't. And David was concerned about where that path was leading him, but God wasn't. Because God knew the path that he was on. He knows the path that we are on, beloved. He's there to help us. So, I just would pray that as you read different psalms and a phrase jumps out and grabs a hold of your heart, that you just remember that there's some things that you should never forget. I talked during the Sunday school hour that there's many things that we ought to be thankful for, and that's true. But there's also some things that we must never forget. And that's what God has done for us. I just pray that you will open up your heart and let him come in and take refuge in your heart and life, and that you feel welcome with him and he'll feel welcome with you, and the two of you can be one. So, this is about all that I wanted to share from this 143rd Psalm today with you. And so much of the scriptures are so precious, and I just pray that you, as the preacher said this morning, that you love this book. That's the greatest proof that you love him, that you're in this book, and let him speak to your heart. and very precious day. So remember, David said, I remember the days of old. I reflect and consider on the work of thy hands. If God's been speaking to you over these past few days about something, your relationship with Him, what a wonderful time this morning to just make it all right. Bend your knees at the altar and just get right with God. You know, I believe when people feel, preacher, that they're not right with God, they ought to just go ahead and get right with God. It's not a big deal. You don't have to meet with a priest. Confess your sins. Just go ahead and get right with God. I mean, what is the problem? You know, you feel things that really I'm not with it. Well, go ahead and get with it. And just kneel at the altar and let's learn to confess our sins and ask God to. You know, most preachers will say that God's already forgiven you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. But, you know, sometimes we need to make confession. You know, I've been going the wrong direction. I got the wrong attitude and things of that nature. All right? Just drop at the altar and tell God you're sorry and get straightened out. God's given you brain. You don't have to, we don't have to plead with people. Just go ahead and do it. I hope you will. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We just